And now, In-Flight Entertainment is proud to present Marauder Radio.
Men are all alike. 7 or 8 quick ones and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
You may be right.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
I may be crazy.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of Marauder Radio, your lunatic lover and poet, Mr. Bob Zima.
Oh, thank you, and especially thank you. Hey, everybody, welcome to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima. I shouldn't say the residence, because that makes no sense. Less than 30 seconds into the professional radio showgram and podcast, and I have trouble with the lips, trouble with the tongue. Oh, my goodness, how do I expect to ever make it in this biz, in this racket? Let's try it again. Hey, everybody, welcome to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. I am the resident lunatic lover and poet here at the Grumpy Gator Cafe, and you have tuned in for Marauder Radio, Pirate Radio, arg mateys, for mental wellness. This is a live in-studio recording of the showgram featured on Blog Talk Radio and also streamed on YouTube. And then once the live version is complete, it gets diced and chopped and edited, and there's all sorts of post-production things that I put in and then post it on the Marauder Radio podcast. So it originates as a live Blog Talk Radio showgram. In fact, you can call in, ask questions, be part of the mayhem, challenge me. Share your stories and adventures of dealing with the bullshit of life. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, just the bullshit of life. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. That's right. You can call in when the showgram is live. But if you're listening to it as a podcast, you'll have to wait for the next live recording of the showgram, which you can check out my YouTube page. You can check out my website, bobzima.com. Check out the Blog Talk Radio page for Marauder Radio to get a handle on when is this show going to be live. My hope, of course, is that it'll be live on Wednesday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time, since I live in the windy city of Chicago. That is when it will be live, but sticking to that schedule can sometimes be difficult for me. Because I'm not just a good-looking face on the radio, folks. I'm also a licensed clinical professional counselor, and I have a private practice affectionately called Bubba Counseling. It focuses on working with male individuals, but also couples that are dealing with conflict, anxiety, addiction in their relationship, or a male individual who is trying to get their arms around the idea of their anxiety and how that anxiety can manifest itself and play itself out through addiction and anger, which are two of the most common ways that our anxiety is displayed. This radio showgram, this Marauder Radio for mental wellness, is all about helping people do two things. Number one, experience a cranium rectum extraction. And number two, get busy living life. Become a participant in the development of your own life, right? You are the writer, producer, director of your life. Get busy. Start writing. Start producing. Start directing. Start making things happen for yourself. There are two steps, folks, to mental wellness. There are two steps that are required. The first is a cranium rectum extraction. We have to get our head out of our ass. Many times, the way in which we perceive things, conceptualize things, take a look at things, understand things, apply meaning. A lot of the times, the way in which we go about thinking about our life, interpreting what is happening, assigning meaning and purpose to things, is the very reason our life tastes like a cardboard dirt sandwich with a side of sawdust. It's often the way in which we interpret, understand, perceive, conceptualize what's going on in our world that creates the anxiety that leads to or drives our anger and our addiction. And so the first step, folks, is hoo-yah, head out of your ass therapy, an old cranium rectum extraction, because at the end of the day, you can control how you think. You have control over that 3 pounds of miraculous gray matter. You have the ability to determine how I'm going to interpret and think about things. You do.
Personally, I give us one chance in three.
You figured, oh, here's a loser, you know, a deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Every day is a gamble. I figure if I wake up in the morning, I'm a winner.
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out to far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
WLS. All right, so we were talking about a cranium rectum extraction. I hit a, fired a little sound bite that I thought was going to go in an opposite direction than it actually did. So, oh well, it's fun. Live radio, everybody. Live radio. So again, this is Marauder Radio, and this is Pirate Radio for mental wellness, and that's what we talk about here, is how can you get your head out of your ass and your ass off the couch and start to actually take control of your life by taking control of how you think, how you interpret the world around you, because we can't control emotions. Emotions are natural. They're automatic. They're driven by neurochemicals. I mean, let's be honest. We cannot control emotion. But what we can control is how we think about, interpret, understand, and apply meaning to the things in our life. The second thing we can control is our own behavior, our own ability to make things happen, to be the writer, producer, director of our life story, to storyboard out what we want to see happen, what we want, what we need, what we wish for, what we dream about. We have that control. You start eliminating or shucking or getting rid of the control you have over how you think about things and your ability to make things happen, well, guess what? Your life is going to be a cardboard dirt sandwich with a side of sawdust. And guess what? You're the only one to blame because you're giving up all of that power. On the other hand, if you work hard, develop the psychological fitness skills that you need for good mental wellness, if you learn how to be able to deal with the bullshit of life, be able to control that thinking of yours, manipulate it in a way that works for you, life can be really wonderful. It also impacts your behaviors. This is why, folks, I see anger as a behavior. Why is it a behavior? Because it is the expression of that anxiety. It is the way in which we are getting rid of, expelling the unwanted emotional experience of anxiety, fear, worry, terror, because of how we're thinking. So it starts with thinking. You change the emotion. You change the behavior. We talk a lot about, or I talk a lot about, anxiety and then the behavioral outcomes of anxiety, which, of course, are anger and addiction. I want to talk a little bit about men and their emotions. So often, we get caught up in this notion that, oh, men don't talk about their emotions. Oh, men don't show their emotions. Of course men do. Have you ever been to a professional sporting event? Have you ever been to a hockey game, a football game, a basketball game, a baseball game? Have you ever seen a man cry when his team lost the Super Bowl? Have you ever seen a man get so excited when his team wins the Stanley Cup? Or have you ever been to a golf tournament when a golfer sinks a 62-foot snaking putt? Do men show emotion? Of course they do. Of course men show emotion all of the time. Men show emotion through behavior such as anger. And that is one of those things where, unfortunately, societally, we've given men a pass. Changing, though, that's really changing. Men don't get that pass anymore. It isn't as Marlboro Man or as macho anymore to be angry. Because we're realizing that at the end of the day, folks, anger as a behavior leads to unwanted, undesired outcomes. Destroys families, destroys careers, destroys friendships, destroys marriages. This is what anger does. So fortunately, as a society and collectively, we're finally having a cranium rectum extraction and recognizing that anger as a behavior, not an emotion, anger as a behavior leads to negative, unwanted, undesired, ineffective, and unhealthy outcomes. At the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, right? I think I was watching a video a couple of weeks ago. I heard somebody say that Aristotle said, getting angry is easy. Every asshole can do that. Every jerk can get angry. But to get angry at the right time, with the right person, in the right way, in an effort to get the right outcome, that takes serious skill. I don't understand anger management. Why would you ever want to manage something you're trying to get rid of? Do we have infidelity management? Do we have beat your kids management? No. Anger should be healed. What is it we heal? The anxiety, the hurt, the pain that causes anger behaviors. Now, I focus a lot on fear. I focus a lot on anxiety, worry, being the rocket fuel that triggers these behaviors that we refer to as anger, right? What are those behaviors? Kicking, screaming, yelling, fighting, cheating, drinking, drugging. What do you hear with all of those words? Ing at the end. What's an ing? We all learned in fifth grade language arts that it's a present participle. What's a present participle? A verb. What are verbs? Behaviors. It's anger. Kicking, screaming, yelling, fighting, punching, drinking, drugging, cheating. They're all verbs. So anger is behavioral. Anger is a verb. It's a way in which we are trying to expel our anxiety, our fear, our worry. It's a way in which we are trying to take control. Because if we take control, then that anxiety, that fear, that worry dissipates. So anger is behavioral. And as I was saying earlier in the segment, when we can get our head out of our ass, when we can get a cranium rectum extraction going, when we can see things accurately, completely, fully, and sometimes, guys, that requires input from others. We have to be open to the feedback and the insight from others to grow our own perspectives. Because our perspective on a situation is two things. First of all, it's accurate. It's correct because it's our perception. The second thing it is incomplete, is perhaps not whole, incomplete. The more data, the more feedback, the more information we can take in from others about our perception, our behavior, our response, the better it's going to be for us, right? It starts with us, and we'll be getting into that on Marauder Radio. But I want to get back to the idea that men don't show emotions, which is silly. Men, of course, show emotion. You see it. You see it. It's just shown in a different way than perhaps females show their emotion. Men don't often talk about it. Men use behavior. Men use language. Men use storytelling as a way of talking about emotions, right? Oh my gosh, you can't believe the fish I caught. It was this far from shore. Men use story. Men use narrative. Men use language to tell you about their emotion. When a man uses profanity, for example, with language, the more profane, the more frequent the profanity or the cursing, the deeper the emotion. And if you're trained to listen as a therapist like myself, or as somebody who actually takes the time to learn the skill of empathy, the ability to reflect back what you think another person is feeling, for your ability to reflect back why you think that other person is feeling something. So if you get out of your own way, if you want to feed health into your relationships, if you want to just simply be a better friend, better partner, better spouse, better sibling, better coworker, better boss, then learn the skill of empathy. Being able to reflect back what you are hearing another person say and how that impacts how they're feeling. So empathy is like, it sounds like that was very scary. It sounds like that was very frightening. It sounds like you feel very hurt based on this situation. Your ability to reflect that back, get out of your own way, not make it about you, actually listen to the person, you'll be amazed at how your relationships grow. But when you're being empathetic with a male, you want to listen for the narrative, the profanity, right? And then be able to translate that narrative, that storyline, that level of profanity, the frequency, or the profanity or the cursing used, to be able to reflect back an emotion, which is either happy, sad, or scared. We've got three primary emotions, folks: happy, sad, scared. From there, you get every other emotion. It's like the three primary colors. Three primary emotions: happy, sad, scared. And from there, we get everything else. So when it comes time to being empathetic with someone, don't confuse yourself or confound the situation. Simply use the three primary emotions. They're either feeling happy, sad, or scared. But folks, men show emotion. When you empathize with a male, listen to that narrative. Trust your own instincts and your own gut, right? When you hear somebody talking about standing in their bedroom, getting ready to go to bed, and then hearing a thunderous crash and a cracking sound as they're telling you the story of how a tree limb fell from an oak tree 75 feet above their house during an ice storm. And being able then to reflect and say, holy cats, that must have really scared the bejesus out of you. That must have really been frightening. And the male will respond, yes, oh my gosh. I was like, man, it made me jump. Listen to the narrative a male shares. Listen for the profanity. And then empathize. Folks, my name is Bob Zima. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor in the state of Illinois. And I am also a frequent flyer to hell and back. And the resident lunatic lover and poet here at the Grumpy Gator Cafe. You're listening to Marauder Radio. Arg, mateys, pirate radio for mental wellness. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
89 WLS.
What the hell's going on out here?
His underwear feels kind of sexy.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Yeah, and he scrambled the son of a bitch. Look at that, he hit the full. Gotta get some free steak.
You're listening to Marauder Radio with your host, the pirate king of the hole in the soul crew, Mr. Bob Zima.
Can I have a quick word of prayer?
Oh, let's not.
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry.
Oh, put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can see when I feel.
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's head. We need a live rooster. Is it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Zima, and I want to tell you about my healing video, Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks, that is available on Amazon's Instant Video Store. Here's what it's all about.
You know, grief is like a vacuum, because it sucks. We sense when a storm is coming. Nobody wants to be known as a griever. We know when a storm is coming. We do everything in our life to avoid grief, and sometimes we just stay out in the rain. We go out of our way to avoid the pain of loss and the process of grief, and get out of the rain and get out of the storm and find that shelter and that hope.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
First and foremost, grief, the thing we all dread, the thing we all try to stay away from, is a healing process. This video is designed to help you develop your own unique style and process of grieving. It's about you discovering how you heal. This video is going to challenge you to find the grieving processes and the coping techniques that are going to work best for you.
You can buy my video or simply rent it via the Amazon Instant Video Store, and it's just a couple of bucks. Hey, for a couple of dollars, will you start your healing today? Cruise on over to BobZima.com to find out how you can download or purchase Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks.
The Rock of Chicago, WLS.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima, and I am the cafe's resident lunatic lover and poet, and we are broadcasting live Marauder Radio. Arg, mateys, it's pirate radio for mental wellness, where we talk about tips, suggestions, ideas that will help you improve the overall quality of your life. I mean, that's the goal, right? I mean, who wants to live a life that tastes like a cardboard dirt sandwich with a side of sawdust? I don't think anybody wants to do that. I think all of us want to be happy, healthy, and whole. And in my counseling and in my media mayhem for mental wellness, I do put an emphasis on male counseling, on counseling for males, and because I believe that, unfortunately, males are left out of the mix a lot. So I will put that emphasis and spin on there here on Marauder Radio. On the other hand, heck, this stuff's going to work for everybody. So even if you do not have a penis or you envy one, this stuff can work for everybody. So don't let that little emphasis on male counseling and counseling for males and suggestions for males sway you in any way. And also, if you love a male, if you're with somebody who you think, hey, this information could be good for, send it along. Invite them to listen to the showgram, whether it's on the podcast or the live feed here, live radio show, or you're watching live on YouTube. I stream all of these episodes on my YouTube channel. You can find everything at BobZima.com, BobZima.com. If you're listening and you want to call in, you want to challenge me, you want to ask a question, you want to share your stories, your ideas, your adventures, please don't hesitate to do so. You can reach me during the live recording of the show at 515-605-9800. Again, that's 515-605-9800 at any time during the live broadcast. I want to talk about a fundamental concept in a therapy that I use when I'm providing individual counseling for males or couple counseling. And that is that you are not the problem. Your friends, your family members, your boss, your spouse, your partner, your lover, your dog, your neighbor are also not the problem. Now, this stems from Mike White, who created narrative therapy. Michael White was a psychotherapist in Australia, and he created narrative therapy, which is a fundamental evidence-based therapy that I use in counseling. but also take advantage of when I'm writing my blog, creating videos for the YouTube and TikTok channel, creating showgrams for Blog Talk Radio or the podcast, or even when I'm giving a live presentation, workshop, or seminar. So narrative therapy is a fundamental approach that I use. And a fundamental aspect of narrative therapy is that people, including you, your neighbor, your son, daughter, wife, husband, partner, lover, boss, coworker, they and you are not the problems that plague your life. They are not the reason your life sucks ass. They are not the reason your life tastes like a cardboard dirt sandwich with a side of sawdust. On the flip side, they are not the reason that your life is wonderful, glorious, joyous, colorful, flavorful. Because, folks, problems are problems. Success is success. Let me go a little bit deeper here. When people come into my office and they're talking about why they're coming in for therapy, first question I ask everybody, why are you coming in? What's going on? What's happening? What is going on in your world that you are seeking therapy? And they'll tell me a story, right? They'll tell me a narrative, hence narrative therapy. And they'll usually tell me about some key characters in their narrative. No different than when somebody says to you, oh my gosh, I saw this great movie over the weekend. Or, hey, this is what I'm streaming on Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus. This is what I'm watching. Oh, my gosh, I saw this great, great little, you know, bingeable series on this particular streaming channel. And they tell you what it's about. They give you the highlights. Clients do the same thing for me. And a lot of times they will point to people, places, and things, right? What did we learn in fifth grade language arts? That things that end with ing are verbs. Hence, anger is a verb. Anger is behavioral. So we also learned that people, places, and things are nouns. And the nouns in our world, the people, the places, the things, the spouse, the coworker, the boss, the job, the school, the church, we like to make these the epicenter of our problems. We like to make these nouns, these people, places, and things, we like to make them the reason our life sucks. Some of us make ourselves the reason. We're a noun. We're a person. We'll make our home, our job, our hobbies. They're nouns. The problem. When really the problem is the problem. Every male that comes into my office and says, my wife sucks, I always respond by saying, actually, if she did, you probably wouldn't be here. For some people, they pick up on that double entendre pretty quickly. Others are mystified and confused. Your coworker, your people, places, and things in your life are not the problem. Your problems are the problem. People call me up. My partner, my spouse, my wife, my husband, the deepest, most center to my soul relationship, that person with whom I'm connected, they just cheated on me. How can they not be the problem? Because they're not. If somebody violates your trust, somebody goes into your soul, rips your heart out, rips your soul out, throws it on the ground and tramples on it. And that may be the meaning, the visualization that we give to somebody cheating on us, to somebody violating our trust, to somebody hurting us as much as any one person can hurt us. We may see that, them, as the problem. The problem is you find yourself connected to emotionally, soulfully, spiritually in some cases, deeply connected to someone who has just proven to you they can't be trusted. The problem isn't what they've done. The problem isn't who they are. Those are just elements to the story, to the narrative. The problem is you don't know what to do in terms of a relationship that at one point was the center of your universe, and now that relationship creates such anxiety, fear, worry for you that you're not sure how to move forward or backwards or left or right. The problem is your eyes have been widened and opened to the actual reality of what someone whom you deeply love, deeply are connected with, deeply are involved, what they can do. That's the problem. And in narrative therapy, the key is really to focus on the problem as much as we can. Focus on the problem, not the people, not the person, not the place or the thing. They're very much a part of the narrative. They very much contribute to the narrative's flow, but they are not the problem. You are not the problem in your own chaos. One of the areas I work with a lot is people who are addicted to things. Alcohol, drugs, internet, pornography. And I'll often have people tell me, oh, if I could only do this, I'm the problem. I'm the issue here. I'm using porn. I'm the problem. My wife doesn't. Well, but where does that get us? If we make you and everybody else in your life or every other noun in your life the problem, where does that get us? It doesn't get us anywhere. We need to understand the problem. It's not that you're addicted to porn. It's not that your spouse walked in on you watching a video and was thrown off. I mean, that's the same thing as I was just talking about, right? Your spouse came in, your partner came in, saw you masturbating to porn, never in their wildest imaginations thought that you were engaged in such a behavior, and now suddenly the veil is lifted, and their problem is, how do they reconcile their perception of the relationship and you and the dedication with pornography? And what pornography means and how they interpret the use of pornography and what the use of pornography by someone means to a relationship that is supposedly sexually committed. Now, I realize we could get very lost in the weeds here. I want to be very clear. People, you are not the problem. The problem's the problem. Through narrative therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and other therapies I use, including reality therapy, solution-focused therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, all in the cognitive behavioral therapy sort of barn, we begin to really identify what's the problem. If you use porn as a means of relaxing, and a lot of males use porn as a means of dealing with anxiety, as a means of dealing with stress, as a means of dealing with the bullshit of life, ba-da-da-da-da-da, just the bullshit of life, ba-da-da-da-da-da. Why? Why is porn so prevalent? I'll tell you. Number one, it's always on. Porn is always available, man. 24/7, 365, it's always there. Never has a headache. Never has to change hands halfway through, right before you're about ready to, woo, yodel in the valley. Porn is always the right flavor. You can always find the right thing you want. Pregnant midgets on roller skates. Not very politically correct of me, right? So pregnant, vertically challenged people on roller skates, preferably inline. But porn is always on. Porn is always available. Pornography feels good. If there's anything we want to do, arg, mateys, in the anarchy of healing, if it feels good, it heals good. So if there's anything we're going to do with pornography when it comes to anxiety is we want to feel good. And pornography makes that happen. In addition, an ejaculation by a male stimulates serotonin in the brain. Serotonin is that feel-good, momentary sense of, woo, it's that runner's high. Why? Because when you're engaged in the arousal and then ultimately the height of building up to an ejaculation, your brain is throwing some adrenaline in there. No different than when you start running on a treadmill. But when the adrenaline is no longer needed, what does the brain do? It releases serotonin. Serotonin is that feel good, happy, woo, life is awesome, I'm flying, man, kind of feel. And that serotonin at the end of an ejaculation is what we're really striving for. It's also what creates the male's ability to cuddle with the female or their partner and build that intimacy. The power of biological things that build relationships. But it's not that your pornography usage is necessarily the issue. That's not the problem. It may lead to an outcome that is undesired, like your partner or your spouse wants nothing to do with you. They think you're a creepazoid. But that, again, is not the problem. The problem is you're suffering from anxiety and stress. And the problem is that you found a means of being able to deal with that anxiety and stress that is incredibly effective for all the reasons I mentioned in the last 5 minutes. And it's easy, it's quick, it's well within our complete control, and it's pleasurable. Same thing with drugs, alcohol, eating. I can drive through a McDonald's drive-through. I can go to a McDonald's drive-through and get something that tastes really good, high fat content, high cholesterol, hits that part of my limbic system in the brain as I'm digesting it, makes me feel good. I can make it happen anytime, anywhere. I can make porn happen anytime, anywhere. If I have alcohol or drugs in the house, anytime, anywhere, I can resolve my problem, the anxiety, the stress, the bullshit of life that I have to deal with a snap of a finger. That's my problem. I may like to say it's my spouse, my job, my work, this, that, because it's easy to push it off. For those of us who really like to tear ourselves a new butthole, for those of us who really are masochistic in our own way, we're going to blame ourselves. Or we blame ourselves as some kind of virtual signaling kind of a thing where we're trying to save a relationship. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I've got a problem. It's me. It's me. It's me. No. The problem is you're stressed. You're anxious. You're worried. You're hurt. You're wounded. You're dealing with trauma. And you're choosing a very unhealthy and ineffective behavior to manage that emotional response to the problem, the stress, right? To the problem is the solution. There we go. So you're stressed, you're anxious. Your problem is right there. How do I resolve that? Am I resolving that anxiety and that stress through a healthy and effective way? In many ways, pornography, drugs, alcohol, they're very effective. They work, man. They work, which is why we use them. They lead to outcomes that create more tension in our relationships, maybe even destroy them. And that is what we're trying to avoid. So the problem is in our choice. So when I work with people, we identify the problem. Let's find healthier, more effective ways for you to manage your stress, your anxiety, that doesn't lead to you blowing up and imploding your whole life. Folks, I'm Bob Zema. I'm the resident lunatic lover and poet here at the Grumpy Gator Cafe, and you are listening to Marauder Radio, Arg Matey's Pirate Radio for mental wellness. I'll be back in just 3 minutes or 2 minutes, so stay with us.
All right, let's pray. God of Rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
As long as there's, you know, sex and drugs, I can do without a rock and roll.
Marauder Radio, starring Bob Zima, Pirate King of the Hole in the Soul crew, will continue in just a moment.
You cheat.
Play that funky music, right?
Pirate.
Doing in the bathroom day and night. Why don't you get out of there? Give someone else a chance.
Hey everybody, it's Bob Zima, and I just want to tell you about my brand new psychological masterpiece. That's right, I wrote a book, and it's called Toilet Therapy, Healing Anger.
Do not go in there.
Woo!
It's a crapper companion guide, and it's designed to help you remove the crap from your soul while you're, well, you know, doing your business in the library.
There is a tiger in the bathroom!
You can be the tiger in the bathroom that takes care of that roaring lion and tiger out in your real world. You'll spend hours and hours on the toilet with my crapper companion guide, learning how to heal your anger and improve the quality of your life.
Ha! Yeah, son, I believe you did tell yourself the devil.
Cruise on over to BobZima.com to get your copy of Toilet Therapy Healing Anger and start your healing process today.
Who does number two work for?
Don't get me wrong, he seems like a nice guy, but my father's a nice guy, and he's not funny either.
If this is some kind of practical joke, it's not funny.
Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
You're going to need a bigger coach.
Yes, get down tonight, KC and the Sunshine Band. How can you not love KC and the Sunshine Band? Holy cats, I remember years and years ago, I was dating a girl, and she and I went to see both KC and the Sunshine Band and Kool and the Gang at a musical theater here in the Chicagoland area called Poplar Creek. Doesn't even exist anymore. They plowed it down and they built some shopping malls. I think they also built, well, the what was the Sears Center, now the Now Arena is there, but mostly shopping areas where Poplar Creek used to be. Went to my very first concerts out there, saw John Mellencamp multiple times, Jimmy Buffett multiple times. It was great. Got a contact high there. And also saw Kool and the Gang and KC and the Sunshine Band. Of course, this was mid-80s, and oh my gosh, was it a ton of fun. But we've got about 15 minutes left on this particular Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live, coming to you on Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you happen to be listening live and you want to call in, 515-605-9800 is the number, 515-605-9800. If you have any questions, thoughts, comments, please don't hesitate to connect with the show. Please don't hesitate to connect with me. Use my Twitter, at Bob Zima. Feel free to connect via Twitter at Bob Zima. Feel free to send me an email, bob@bobzima.com. Visit my website, bobzima.com. I am a frequent flyer to hell and back, and I create a lot of different media mayhem for mental wellness. As I said earlier, I do kind of focus on male individuals and couples, but hey, whatever you're picking up on this show, the idea is not to tell you how to change your life, because that's the problem with self-help. Somebody writes a book about what they did, and everybody thinks that they can just mimic what that person did, not taking into account that you have a unique set of skills, talents, personality. You have a unique narrative, a unique life story, which makes you unique. So the only thing that's going to work for you is the plan you create. So the idea here is to throw different psychological fitness skills out, throw out different ideas, different concepts to help you be a better you, to help you figure out your own plan, to develop psychological fitness skill sets, to develop a psychological fitness plan, and then go out there and create mental wellness for yourself, because you're the only one who can do it. I was having a discussion with my wife the other day about the phrase, well, I thought about it. And as a counselor, as a therapist, as a human being, there isn't a phrase that I can't stand more than, well, I thought about it, right? Think about your own life, right? Have you ever had someone ever say to you, well, I thought about it? Have you ever said it to someone else? Now, imagine you're the receiver of that communication. Well, I thought about it, right? Hey, how come you didn't invite me to your birthday party? Well, I thought about it. And that's where people stop. But our 3 pounds of gray matter that sits above our neck doesn't stop there. The old drive-in theater starts getting the projector going, and we finish the thought. Hey, how come you didn't invite me to your party? Well, you know, I thought about it, and then we jump in, right? But I just figured you wouldn't enjoy it. I didn't think the people I was inviting you would get along with. Well, I think you're a piece of garbage. You're just a big turd floating down the river of life. Whether we like to admit it or not, we will finish the thought of someone who says to us, well, I thought about it, right? When we say, hey, when I put that thing in the Amazon cart and was waiting for you to finish with your shopping and then was hoping this would be delivered, why didn't you submit the order? Well, I thought about it, but I didn't think you really needed that device. I didn't really think you needed that item, and I just decided I would wait because I'm so much more important. Now, again, remember, folks, we are filling in the rest of the sentence, well, I've thought about it, because there's always more that comes after, well, I've thought about it. It's one of the worst phrases we can use when interacting with somebody whom we care about, because no matter whether we say, well, I thought about it, no matter if we complete that sentence ourselves or just leave it hanging there, the person with whom we're talking to is going to finish it for us. So whether you're receiving it and you finish the thought, or whether you're giving it and you let the other person finish the thought, the inevitable outcome is your relationship is going to be filled with tension. So don't use this phrase, well, I thought about it. When someone uses this phrase with you, right? When someone uses this phrase with you, the natural tendency is going to be for your 3 pounds of miraculous gray matter, that mind of yours, to finish the sentence. Be mindful that you're finishing the sentence. The other person is not finishing the sentence. You're finishing it, right? And as I've been talking about on this episode, hoo-yah therapy, head out of your ass therapy, cranium rectum extraction, step number one is recognize that when you finish that sentence, that's on you. That's your side of the street. That's your perception. Now, as I said earlier too, that perception is two things. Valid, because it's your perception. It's also accurate, but it can also be incomplete. So even though it's valid because it's your thought, even though it's accurate because it's your thought, it's also incomplete. You're not giving that person the chance to finish the sentence. Well, I thought about it. Most of us stop there. Most of us stop there because we don't want to be open and honest with the person that we've just used the, well, I've thought about it phrase with. So the other person, having experienced the filtering for themselves, but also having experienced this before, fills in the blank. Your overall mental wellness, your overall ability to tolerate the stress that comes from someone saying, well, I thought about it, and then being able to recognize that when you finish that thought for someone that just gave you that response, that's on you. Your ability to tolerate that response, your ability to not think that you're a turd floating down the river of life, your ability to say, hey, it's not that, you know, for your ability not to think that they think you're not worth it, that you don't, you know, why should they put in the effort? You're not worth it. The relationship isn't worth it. That's where we go, because we've been programmed to go there. The psychological fitness skill we want to use is the ability to disconnect the, well, I thought about it, to our natural response to make that about us, to define our value and our worth. Can't go there. So what I always tell people, I always say to people, when someone says to you in response to a question, well, I thought about it, don't the sentence. Simply say, and pause. Well, I thought about it, and they stop, right? And you, instead of going down that deep, dark hole of making it all about you, ask or say, and? Because now you're prompting them to finish their thought. Now you're prompting them to take responsibility for their choice, for their decision-making, for their action of not following through. You don't create some fallacy, some horror film in your head about all the reasons they didn't follow through on something they thought about how not following through on that implies that you're not valuable enough to them. You're not worthy. Don't go down that path. Don't go down that scary, dark alley. When someone says, well, I thought about it, yourself from answering or filling in the rest of that phrase, and simply say, and put the other person on the spot. Get them to share with you why they thought about it but didn't act. Even if they tell you, well, I just didn't think you were worth it. Well, I just didn't want to spend the money. Well, I didn't think you'd enjoy the party. Well, I thought you'd be a pain in the ass at the party. Well, I didn't want you to embarrass me at the party. They have to own it. They have to put it out there. That's much healthier for your relationship. It's much healthier for the two of you and the dynamic that you create, even if it is hard to hear. But hearing it from them is a lot less intense than you creating it in your own head. Well, I thought about it, and let them finish it. Make them responsible, accountable for their own choices, decision-making, and behaviors. If you're the one saying, well, I thought about it, finish the sentence. Respect yourself and respect your own self-confidence and your own self-advocacy to be able to take ownership of your own choices and behaviors, to be able to accept the outcomes and the consequences that come from you making a choice. Well, I thought about it, but I just didn't really feel comfortable having you there. I was concerned that you might say something, that you might offend somebody at my party. Have the balls. Have the guts. Have enough respect in yourself to own your own decision-making, to be proud of your decision-making process. Don't hide from it. Don't walk away from it. Don't shy away from it. Stand up to it. You made a decision. I'm sure you didn't make the decision lightly. I'm sure you might have even talked to others about making a decision. But you thought about something enough to make a decision. You thought about something thoroughly enough to create an action plan. Respect yourself. The other person, the relationship, the dynamic that you create to at least have the balls or the guts to come through and be honest and open and own why you made that choice. Well, I thought about it. Past tense. Decision made. Outcome. Don't go half the distance to the goal line. If you're going to use that phrase and have the decency, the autonomy, the respect for yourself and the other person in your relationship to finish the thought and the sentence. If someone uses that phrase on you, don't let them get away with just throwing that against the wall. Make them accountable to their own decision-making process and make them accountable to the outcome of their decision by simply saying, and, well, I thought about it, Bob, and what? You thought about it, and they'll get it. They may squirm. They may even walk away. You may not get an answer, but at least you tried. At least you have respect in yourself, respect in the process, respect in the relationship. At least you're giving the other person the opportunity to own their choice and the outcome. Hopefully that makes a lot of sense. It's been great talking with all of you today on Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live. I hope to run this show every Sunday and Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time. I will then take what's recorded live on the radio showgram and what's live on the video stream, and you'll have an opportunity to see smaller portions or chunks of it on my podcast or even on the YouTube channel. So again, thanks for tuning in, and it's been great talking to you on the radio. Time for me to fly.
Here is done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West, wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets, wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity, and wherever a people cry out for justice.
Bullshit!